Thanks for joining us online at Highland Park Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you're here. On this podcast, you'll hear weekly teaching from God's Word, featuring messages from our incredible preaching staff and a variety of guest speakers. We hope the following message leaves you feeling encouraged and deepens your relationship with Christ. Enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
Well, great to be with y'all this morning. If I've not had a chance to meet you, my name is Jay. I serve as one of the pastors here. And if you are a college student or a young adult who have recently moved to Dallas area, hopefully you have adjusted well. If you have school-age kids, hope your first day of school went well. I know that for some people, your school starts next week. And parents, by the way, are you feeling tired? A little tired? Do you feel like you have overcommitted already, feeling a little exhausted? Parents, parenting is hard. Dads, you know this, right? Parenting is hard. Dads, we treat parenting like a cardio workout. We do it for 30 minutes and like it's done. We're finished. We feel good about it. We need a nap and protein shake, right? I wonder as we start this school season for many of you, how many of you are feeling overwhelmed these days? And here's the what's really wild about this. I think like more we try to get done and highly organized we try to get, right? And more we get done, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but more people give us stuff, right? Like our society loves busy people. Like our cult, especially busy people who can get job done, especially young busy people who can get jobs done, because like adults will look at you and go, wow, these are responsible adults. Let's see how much more stuff we can give them and see and wait until they combust, right? So these are, we get really busy at all times. And here's what we need to know. There is a difference between being busy versus being in a hurry. Busy is an outward condition. It's what we do. These are activities that we attend, places that we go to. We are attending to people, work to finish. And being busy is not necessarily a bad thing. However, being in a hurry, that is an inward condition of your soul, right? It describes this undercurrent, this anxiety that's happening in your soul, where you feel like your to-do list is growing and growing, and you find yourself in this compulsive urgency to get things done and rush through your life. And doctors and psychologists actually have a terminology and diagnosis for this. It's called hurried sickness. I don't know if you heard of this or not. Maybe you heard of it. It's a behavior pattern where you are always feeling short on time, where you always feel like that you need to be efficient and looking for a quicker ways to get things done. You're looking for life hacks to move faster in life. And here's what's really fascinating. The term hurry sickness was coined in the 1970s. Remember 1970s? That's when some of you were watching movies using VHS tapes. We're printing things using dot matrix printers before smartphones, before AI. And this term was formed by Dr. Meyer Friedman. And back then, Dr. Friedman identified hurry sickness as a major contributor to stress-induced health issues, often found in type A personalities. Those of you who are highly organized, highly competitive, and you're overly focused on time. I have about 18 minutes left in my sermon here, okay? So here's some clues to know whether you have hurry sickness in your life. Let's say you're driving. And are you kind of person where you're counting cars in front of you before that stoplight to see which lane is quicker and you kind of move over to the other lane? Is that your normal routine? Or maybe you order something on Chick-fil-A app, and even though you're not at the store, you click on that button, I'm already at the store, so they can make your food much faster before you get there. I know you. Or maybe you're boarding on a plane, even though you're group 7, you try and sneak in with group 3, so you can have that overhead space. I know this crowd I'm part of. Here's the thing, hurry. Hurry leads to fatigue. It creates this unnecessary burdens that we have to carry. And here's the bad thing about hurry, living a life of hurry, is that it diminishes our effectiveness to love people well. And by the way, if you are here this morning feeling tired, burdened, exhausted, we welcome you. You come to the right place. Because our hope is that together, as God's people, that we would recenter our mind and body in the image of Jesus and all that he has to give to us, all that Jesus has to offer to us. And as Emily mentioned earlier, today we begin a new four-week series looking at the very words of Jesus, invitations from Jesus, where he is asking us to follow the patterns of his life, where we get to experience incredible rest and life of sacrifice, generosity, and sense of joy that only comes from the Lord. So today we're looking at what it means to experience God's rest. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, turn with me to Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. We'll be looking at verses 28 through verse 30. Only three verses, and you can find the words in front of you as well. This is God's active and living word for us today. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here's the context. Jesus is speaking to crowds of people who are feeling weighed down by the burdens of life. And the reason why they're feeling a burden is because of the religious leaders and the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, namely, because they have put together all kinds of rules and regulations to follow the ways of God. And they added like 613 additional rules beyond the law of Moses. That's like setting like they're putting a fence around the fence to self-preserve and protect God's ways. They're trying to do a good thing in their mind, but what they created is this sense of like being a taskmaster where people are trying to follow and follow and follow, but they cannot really follow. And they created this endless legalism, system of legalism. It's like that mythical figure or Greek mythology, maybe you know a guy by the name of Sisyphus. Maybe you heard of him. Sisyphus, the story is that here's a guy who is pushing up this really heavy boulder up on a hill. And as part of his punishment, he's trying to get to the top. And as he got really close to the top, the boulder would just come back down again. And he would have to start that process all over again. And he would do this over and over when he thinks he gets to the end, but the boulder goes back down. And friends, that is religion. Where we're trapped in this vicious cycle where we think we can get to the end to experience some kind of future and freedom. When you get there, you realize that you have to start all over again because you're striving and trying so hard, but you get there and there is no end. And I don't know what kind of burdens that you are carrying this morning. Perhaps physical burdens. It could be like sickness or disease or pain that you've been experiencing. You know someone like that. Or it could be relational burdens with families and friends, or even at work, right? Colleague relationships. According to Pew Research, for those of you who consider yourself Gen X, that's me, which is my generation, those of you born between 1965 and 1980, the number one burden for you is that you're having to care for your aging parents and your kids below. And when I say kids below, I'm including adult kids as well. You feel that squeeze in life. That is your number one burden. And if you're a millennial generation, ages between 29 and 45, the burden for you is financial security. You're wondering how you're going to pay for your college college debt, pay for your rent, mortgage. You're looking to see how you are going to get into that neighborhood. You know the numbers don't work out, financial insecurity. And for Gen Z between ages 13 and 28 years old, you and your friend's burden is your mental health, right? You're trying to see, how can I get emotionally healthy? And you just want the older generation to know that the anxiety and the pressures that you're going through is very real in your life. What burdens are you carrying? Because it's here in verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, some of you who are tired." No. He doesn't say that. Jesus does not say, "Come to me, few of you who are burdened." No, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you, All of us who are tired and weary and burdened and heavy laden, all means all, everyone who needs rest, come to Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are or what you have done in the past, that you can come to Jesus. And I love what Dane Orland says about this. He says, quote, "You don't need to unburden or collect yourself and then come to Jesus. Your very burden is what qualifies you to come. Come to me," Jesus says. And he continues in verse 29 by saying, "You will find rest for your souls." So let's talk about our souls for a moment. I think oftentimes in Protestant Christianity, we see our soul as something that is separate from the body, like our soul is something that goes into heaven where our body stays here on earth. And I think that's a very limited view of soul as God designed us. Because as Christians, we have a more holistic understanding of soul, because soul is a little word, but it's not a small word. Your soul is the engine of your life. Your soul is what, it's the very essence of who you are. It's that thing that integrates everything about you and allows you to connect with God and connect with the others. So the status of your soul is more than just your eternal destination, but it shapes your present situation, your circumstances in life. So here's what I mean by this. If your soul is happy, man, your outlook in life is going to be so happy. You are whistling, you're humming, you're skipping. Life is so good because your soul is so satisfied and full of life and thriving. But if your soul is sad, you're going to see this incredible despair, clouds, raining. It doesn't feel good. If your soul is jealous, you're going to be comparing yourself to other people. You're wondering, why can I not have that kind of podcast? Why can I not have that kind of side hustle like her? We're just constantly comparing. And so this is why SoCare is so important for us to connect with God. It's so vital for us to understand what it means to truly be attentive to what God is doing so that we can live in a very busy and complicated world that God is calling us to live in. And Jesus said that we can have this kind of rest. And the kind of rest that Jesus is talking about is not like pulling away from the responsibilities of the world. It's not like a guy is going to a man cave or a woman going to a woman cave and we're pulling back or when we're looking for escapism. That's not that kind of rest. It is not passive or lazy kind of rest. But it is kind of rest that we are experiencing while we're working, while we're leading, while we're parenting, while we're studying, in the midst of heavy demands of life, that we can experience God's rest. And Jesus says, "I will give you rest. Come and follow me. When you don't feel like praying, come. I will give you that rest. When you have done everything possible in your life and you cannot do any more, come," Jesus says. "Come when you've done everything you know possible to get your dating life and your marriage life right on track. Rest. I will give you that rest." Powerful kind of rest. So the question becomes, how does Jesus give us this kind of rest? Look at verse 29. It says, "Take my yoke." Now, yoke is not everyday language that we city people use. Yoke is a farming language. And let me show you a picture of yoke. Many of you have seen yoke. Yoke is this wooden farming tool that brings two animals together working side by side. I love what Dale Bruner, a commentator, said about this. He says that yoke is an instrument of work. And sometimes farmers would put weaker ox alongside a stronger ox so the stronger ox can teach the weaker ox how to work together at the same pace. A yoke is a heavy machinery, which makes you think, what is Jesus saying here, right? It's as if, check this out, it's as if Jesus is trying to say, if you are running fast, if you're running really hard, and if you're trying to do everything in life and all you're looking for is rest, all you want is go to the beach, read a good book, and just take a nap, here's what I'm going to do. Come to me. I'm going to give you this very heavy wooden thing and put around your neck so you could work harder, right? It's as if Jesus is giving us 100-pound weighted vests for all eternity for us. No. It doesn't make sense. So in order for this passage to make sense and to fit into our mind, we imagine the story to be something like so you got two animals side by side. You have 1 horsepower and you have 2 horsepower, and 2 horses can do more things and go further and faster. And we see Jesus as our co-pilot. And so Jesus, I'll pull my part, you pull your part. We're going to do this together. We can do more. Let's go, Jesus. That is not what Jesus is saying here. He's not inviting us to this 50-50 partnership with him. But what he is saying is, let me carry the weight, period. Let me carry the burdens for you. Let me do the heavy lifting. And he continues in verse 30. And he says, my yoke is easy. And that word easy is mentioned only one time in the entire Bible. And it comes from Jesus. And I love what John Ortberg says about this. He says, easy is a soul word. Easy is a soul word. And soul, your soul was not made for an easy life. This life that we live in is hard. It's very challenging. Even Jesus himself said that you will face many, many troubles in this world. Remember that? However, the soul was not, a soul was made for easy yoke. Let me repeat that. Soul was made for an easy yoke. And a life of easy yoke is a way of life that is deeply connected to Jesus. So whatever you experience in life, whatever pains and circumstances and challenges you go through, we know that we are yoked with Jesus. It's a life that you know that Jesus is with you and for you. He's alongside you in the midst of pain. So let me illustrate this. Growing up, I realized that I could not run long distances, right? I would always envy cross-country runners. And I would wonder, how are they able to run for such a long time? Because for me, every time that I would run, I would get this like painful, shooting, excruciating pain under my feet, get shin splints. I would try to run, change out different shoes. It would just hurt. Like in the high school days, play football, you waited you're standing for 3 hours after the game. I'm just in pain, right? And it's not like I'm trying to run a marathon. I'm talking about like running a couple of laps around the track. I am hurting. And like in high school days, I remember having to wear shoes like a couple of sizes bigger. I looked like a clown walking around the high school campus. Like, why is there so much pain? And then I realized what was happening. I am flat-footed. I don't have any arches under my feet. Did you know there are people like that in this world? I don't have arches, and it hurts. I need to have like custom size or like specifically designed shoes. It does not hurt me. By the way, if you're wondering, are there other people like this? Come tonight to AA meeting, Arches Anonymous. Tonight, you'll see others, right? And when I discovered this real issue that I could find a custom designed to my feet kind of shoe without pain, I realized, okay, I could do things for much longer. Well, it turns out the ancient yokes that farmers used were a lot like modern shoes. There wasn't such thing as one size fits all type of yoke. If you put like this a piece of wooden slab onto an animal's neck, the animal would get all kinds of sores and pressure pains, and the animal would not be able to do work for a long time. But a well-designed yoke, custom shaped to fit that animal's neck, allowed to carry heavy loads daily without exhaustion. So when Jesus says, take my yoke is easy, he's not talking about a life free from work or burden. What he is offering is a custom-sized yoke designed just for you, something that only you can carry based on your strengths, based on your capabilities. And yes, God will give us burdens. God will give us burdens. And these are burdens that something that you can carry, not alone, but with Jesus. With Jesus. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And it's not easy because life is easy. It's easy because we're yoked to Jesus. And if we know this life-changing truth, it could transform and change our life. When you and I, when we put our trust in Jesus, it'll change our life and our trajectory forever by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what kind of burdens that you're carrying right now. I know some of us have been carrying very, very difficult, hard burdens, especially over the summer months. And I want to encourage you to be yoked with Jesus. And even those of you who have been followers of Jesus for a long time, sometimes we need to remember that we need to be re-yoked with Jesus so we could walk along together with Jesus. So in a moment, I'm going to give you a time for you to simply rest and to experience God's soulful rest. So I'm going to actually invite the worship team to come back up. But you may be wondering, is this for real? Can we truly experience this kind of rest? How do I know for sure if Jesus can really take away all my burdens? Burdens of grief, burdens of anxiety, burdens of fear, burdens of failure. Well, here's how you can know. If you allow me, may I invite you to simply close your eyes? Would you do that for now? If you could just simply close your eyes, because I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine a hill, steep hill, but it's different than the kind of hill that, remember that man who was pushing that big boulder up a hill? But it's a different kind of hill. This hill is called the Hill of Mount Calvary. And on this hill, there was another kind of instrument made out of wood. It's the Roman cross. Can you see it? Can you imagine it? As you have your eyes closed. It was custom made for Jesus, for him to be on it. But unlike the ancient yoke, it was not to be shared. Jesus carried it all alone. Can you see it? And Jesus did not carry the cross as a tool for work. It actually became the instrument of our salvation. And he took on the full weight of my sin and your sin and sin of this world. And he died on the cross for you and me. And why? So we would no longer be yoked to sin, but yoked to Christ. And it's in that yoke we find rest for our souls. And that's how we know that Jesus is real. So in the continuing posture of prayer with your eyes closed, I just want to bless you today for you to receive the easy yoke of Jesus. Will you take on the yoke of Jesus? Will you receive his invitation? So friends, I bless you to rest in the power of Jesus. And this is the kind of rest that only Jesus can give. It is a peace of Christ, that shalom. And some of you really have experienced hard things this year. And I'm sorry. But our Lord Jesus sees you. He knows you. He hears your longings. If your heart has been aching, and if you have been burdened with stress, and if you're tired of being defined by what you do, Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest for your souls. So will you now exchange the heavy burdens you are carrying around your neck and receive the easy yoke of Jesus? Take it, learn from him. He's gentle and humble. So I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message and we look forward to connecting with you in person soon. Each week we study God's word together on Sundays at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 a.m. You can go to hbprez.org/Sundays to plan your next visit and stay updated on our current sermon series. God bless, and we'll see you next time.